So John chapter 1, and we've been reading at verse number 1. So John 1 verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We pray that you would bless its reading. You would open it up to our understanding. It might touch our hearts and meet our needs here today. You know each of us, Lord, what things that we're going through, Lord, and we pray that you would minister us each as only you can. By your word and by your spirit, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And Christmas is a busy time, and the closer we get to Christmas, usually the busier it gets. But in all that busyness, we do tend to get stressed out, or we tend to stress ourselves out, or really lose sight of the whole reason that we celebrate Christmas in the first place. You think of it, much of what we do isn't even really necessary. It's just become kind of added on because of various traditions, or just sometimes it's by us always figuring, well, we have to always kind of outdo ourselves from the year before, where if we just kind of said, well, I did it good last year, I'll kind of do it the same, and or even do it a little bit less, it's not going to hurt anything. And it's the thing is that if we truly want to outdo ourselves and have a better and more enjoyable Christmas than previous years, the last thing that we want to do is lose our spiritual focus. If we're not spiritually minded, we're not going to react well when things don't work out exactly as planned, and we can be certain that nothing ever works out exactly as planned. And we can get frustrated with other people instead of just enjoying the time together. And it's ironic because it's like we spend so much time with all the preparation, the decorating, preparing, or buying and wrapping of gifts to make it a great Christmas, but in do so we can neglect the most important thing, which would ensure that we would have a great Christmas even without all those other things. And so rather than allow ourselves to become distracted, we want to regain and to maintain our spiritual focus. And we want to think God's thoughts after Him. We want to see things from His perspective, that above all the hustle and bustle of our lives, we want to see what is truly important and what our mind should be dwelling upon this time of year. We've been going through this series for the last several weeks, and a couple weeks ago we focused on the reason why Christ came as a babe to Bethlehem. He became because of the greatness of our need, that all of us have sinned, that none of us can redeem ourselves, that we are in need of a Savior, and He came and died for us to be that Savior. And so for us this Christmas, that we want to be aware of that need, thankful for Him coming to meet our needs, but also aware of the need that remains of other people that haven't trusted Him as Savior yet, that our lives are wrecked by sin, and we want to minister to them, and we want to have compassion to them to help them with their physical needs, certainly, but much more with their spiritual needs, to reach out and to help them, to show them their need of salvation. Last week we dwelt upon the greatness of the gift that was given unto us, that God the Father would give us His only begotten Son, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, would give His life in order to save us from our sins. It is so absolutely amazing and glorious. And as well, all that He provided unto us through His death and resurrection, all that He's provided unto us through faith, it's not just a ticket to heaven. It's not just a fire insurance policy, as some say, but it's the idea that He gives us strength and guidance and so many other things for each day. That as well is also so absolutely amazing and glorious as well. And so this Christmas season, that rather than just focusing on the gifts that we get or receive, as we often do, we want our focus to be upon the gift. And whether we have little or much this Christmas, that gift that we've been given should be our true source of rejoicing, our true source of thanksgiving this year. But for today, I want to examine another thought, and that is receiving of what we've been given. Of receiving what we've been given. And so imagine if you had, there were some parents and they had a young son and a young daughter, and they love them very much. They know just what they wanted for Christmas. And so on Christmas morning, the two kids come down the stairs to the living room, and they see that for each of them is a large present under the tree. And they jump up and down. They're very happy. They say, thank you, Mom and Dad. And then they go and just sit on the couch and kind of fold their hands and just kind of are quiet. And that just wouldn't make a lot of sense. And so the dad sees that, and dad says, well, okay, guys, you can actually take the presents. They're yours. You can have them. And so he gets up, and he brings each of the gifts to them and offers it to them. They take it, and they say, oh, thank you, Daddy. Then they just hold the presents on their laps. And so he says, well, okay, guys, you can open the presents. It's okay. And so they open the presents. They discover what they receive. For the daughter, it's a beautiful doll. For the son, it's a Tonka dump truck. And they're both really excited and just, oh, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad. And but then what do? Is they go place what they've received and they go put it on the mantelpiece. And they go back and sit on the couch and just look at it. And the dad would say, well, hey, guys, you can play with them. The kids are like, oh, no, we just like looking at them. We're afraid that if we played with them that we might break them. And so the dad says, well, no, they're meant to be played with. The doll, it isn't a China doll. It's well made. It's going to handle you playing with it. And the Tonka truck is virtually indestructible. I don't know if any of you remember that ad when you were a kid that they had like a life-size dump truck and then a Tonka truck, and they pushed them both off a cliff, and the life-size one just was all broken to pieces, and the Tonka one, they just kind of brushed the dust off and it wasn't even dented. And so it's something that it wasn't, and he's trying to explain to the kids that this is, that I've given you these gifts to be used, to be played with, to enjoy, not just to look at. And if we would, such a scene is something that we would never expect to see on Christmas morning. That's not what happens. That it's not where you have to try to encourage them to open their gifts. It's almost holding them back kind of thing. But we, even though we recognize that isn't what we would expect to be replicated in any of our homes this Christmas, when you think about it, the scene that I've described surprisingly matches much of humanity's response to the gift that God has given us through His Son. That some know nothing of the gift and need to be told about it, but there's many that have heard about the gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, but have yet to receive it. And for many who have received it, that gift can just be sitting on the mantelpiece, being something that it's meant to be used, it's meant to be enjoyed, it's meant to enrich and bless their every corner of their lives, but it just kind of sits there and it's kind of only taken down in case of emergencies. And for that to happen, we recognize if we have such a great gift that's been given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ, if we do that, if that's our response, we've definitely missed something, we've misunderstood something. And individually, that it's necessary to clear up those misunderstandings so we don't miss out on the greatness of the gift that God has given this Christmas season. That many in our country have heard the Christmas story about Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, about not having any place to stay, Mary giving birth in a stable, baby Jesus being wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger, the angels telling the shepherds, the wise men coming later to worship Him and give gifts. But the question is, well, what does that mean to us? What does that mean to each of us individually? Is it just a nice story that kind of, it's just one of those things that we tell our kids that it's a fun story to tell? We understand it is a true story, that's absolutely certain, but as we understand it, we recognize that the whole reason why he came, what he did for us, and then later on that he grew to be a man by his death and resurrection, that the truths of that are life-changing truths. They're not just just one event in history that we would study about and memorize. It's something that affects us today, that God has given mankind the greatest gift of his Son, and through him we can have salvation, we can have forgiveness of our sins, we can have abundant life, guidance and strength and wisdom and victory. And all of this is by his grace. We didn't deserve it, we couldn't earn it, but he gave it to us by his grace through his Son. But yet each of us needs to come to a point individually where we receive that gift by faith for it to do any good for us. And that brings us to the text that we read this morning, that Jesus Christ, we recognize him to be the Word of God. Later on in that chapter, verse 14, it says that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That we understand that he is the true light, as it says there, that lighteth every man that cometh into the world, that he made the world, yet the world did not know him. That he came unto his own, to his own people, but his own did not receive him. Those who should have hailed him as their king instead yelled, "Crucify him, crucify him." But we see in verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." And the greatness of his grace, when we think about it, the whole idea that we would be adopted as God's children, be part of his family, that and that daily and practically we can be transformed into the image of his Son, so that we live as children of God. It is such a glorious thought, yet it only comes as we receive him. And how do we receive him? By believing on his name. And it's that belief in him, that trust, that faith, that opens the floodgates of his grace, that we can be made righteous in him. And that righteousness is offered unto all, but is only upon all them that believe, as it speaks of in Romans chapter 3. That's only effectual through belief, through that trusting in him. Otherwise, essentially what it is, it's a gift that remains unwrapped, unopened, and unappreciated. Now, if we understand that we receive the gift of God through belief or through faith, it's also necessary that we clear up any misunderstanding we might have as to what true belief, what true effectual saving faith is. Because when you think about it, this time of year, there's a lot of spoken of about belief that really doesn't do anyone any good. It was interesting this week, Malia came across this posting on the internet by this mother whose son had come home one day and said, well, a neighbor kid had told him that Santa wasn't real. And so instead of saying, okay, well, I guess it's time to come clean, to kind of explain the way things truly are, mother instead was angry with the child that had told her son and the truth. And so she did something that kind of unexpected, said something completely different. And essentially, her and her son came to the conclusion, well, it's fine if that kid doesn't believe. That doesn't affect what we believe, and we're going to still believe in Santa Claus. And we have this same idea nowadays that it's kind of, you can believe whatever you want, and if that belief is strong enough, that somehow it's going to make it true. And if we really think that through, it doesn't make sense. It defies logic. Because if two people believe two opposite things, they can't both be right. One or the other might be right. They might actually both be wrong, but they can't both be right. It just doesn't work that way. And of course, the focus should never be on just kind of arguing back and forth, I'm right and you're wrong. Instead, the focus is to try to seek out what the truth actually is. And ultimately, what is truth? We understand that God's word is truth. And so we understand how it says in Romans that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that we believe in what the scriptures say, that we know it to be truth because it's the inspired word of God. But furthermore, with such a belief that this mother and son have chosen to cling to, you think about, well, what actual good does that belief do for them? Does it change reality? Does it change anything in their life? Not really. All it does is essentially give them a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. It reassures them of where they are. It doesn't challenge their thinking. It allows them to keep doing what they're doing without having to change. And sadly, there's much belief out there today in regards to heaven and hell, in terms of Christ and salvation, that does much the same thing. And someone might think, well, Christ is the Savior of the world, and He came, so that just means, well, everyone's automatically going to heaven just because He came. And were that true, it would be great if that were true, but that's not how it works. Or someone can be confronted with their sinfulness, their need of a Savior, and say, well, no, I'm a good person. Jesus died to save the really bad people, but I'm good enough to make it on my own. And it'd be nice if that were true, but that's not the way it works. And we realize the truths of the gospel, they make us uncomfortable to start with. They challenge our thinking. They assault our pride. The truth that God's eyes, all of us are unrighteousness, that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. That upsets us. But we realize we need to have our thinking challenged. We need to see ourselves as needy in order that we might reach out to receive the gift God has given us through His Son. If we don't think we have any need for Jesus, we're never going to reach out and receive that gift. If we think we're good on our own, then we say, well, why would Christ interest me? That our pride and our self-sufficiency must be broken down if there's any hope for any of us.